We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Battery testing from AutoZone helps you do a lot. It saves someone from buying a new battery they didn't need. It helps start a truck, a car, a minivan. Not once, but twice. And it proved that this ride only had a loose cable. Just one less thing to worry about. And it's just one of the services that AutoZone offers for free. From battery testing to helpful advice, doing more is what we do best. So visit any of our 5,500 AutoZone locations nationwide today. See store for details. Get in the zone,
AutoZone. Hi, I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans. If you want to buy a home, we could help you get a great mortgage that may require as little as 3% down. And we also invented Rocket Mortgage. It gives you a solid approval in as few as 8 minutes. And for 8 years in a row now, J.D. Power has ranked Quicken Loans highest in the nation in customer satisfaction for primary mortgage origination. Call America's largest mortgage lender at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com.
Based on Rocket Mortgage data in comparison to public data records, call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030. Results may vary.
AM 560 WQAM Miami. 96.5 FM WPOW HD2 Miami.
Radio home of the Miami Dolphins, Miami Hurricanes, and Florida Panthers.
Powered by Anajar and Levine Accident Attorneys.
1-800-747-FREE. That's 1-800-747-3733.
Now, the latest headlines from the Geico Update Center.
Geico, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Starting off with hoops, where the Celtics took Game 5 over the Cavs 96-83. Boston now has a 3-2 series lead, and they'll look to eliminate Cleveland tomorrow night in Game 6. And tonight, the Rockets will host the Warriors for Game 5 with their series tied at 2. Tonight's tip is set for 9. Over to hockey, where the Capitals shut out the Lightning 4-0 to take Game 7 and advance to the Stanley Cup Finals against Vegas. Game 1 will be on Monday night. And in baseball, the Marlins took the rubber match with the Mets by a final of 2-1. The team is off today. They'll host Washington for a 3-game series beginning tomorrow night at Marlins Park. And the Hurricanes will play their second ACC tournament game tonight against Clemson. The first pitch is at 7, and the game can be heard on 790, The Ticket. With a 100-night risk-free trial, you can discover how Casper has become the Internet's favorite mattress. Go to Casper.com today for special Memorial Day savings. Casper.com. Today's weather will be partly cloudy with a high of 83 and a low of 75 and a 60% chance of rain. South Florida's newest poker room, Kings Court Key, has all your favorite poker games, including live Texas Hold'em poker, three-card poker, and ultimate Texas Hold'em poker. Kings Court Key opens 7 days a week, located east of US 1 in Florida City. KingsCourtKey.com. The Joe Rose Show with Zach Kranz is next.
Kuznetsov across to Ovechkin. He scores! He scores! 1 minute and 2 seconds into Game 7. The Great Eight has made it 1-0 Washington! Good morning, good afternoon, and good night, Tampa Bay! The Washington Capitals are the 2017-2018 Eastern Conference champions.
Tatum has got possession is safe. Shot clock is at 3. Tatum left hand dribble, pulls up at 20 feet. Got it at the shot clock buzzer. Shot clock winding down. Kick out. How fitting would this be if Tatum can finish with a splash? And he does.
We were not the more connected team in Cleveland. That bothered us all, I think. And we wanted to come out and defend well. Doesn't mean they didn't miss some shots they normally hit. We'll go back and see that, I'm sure. We'll see areas that we can get a lot better at. You just have to play the next possession the right way and do that as much as you can for 48 minutes. It's easier said than done. You know, to do what we want to do, we still have to beat this team one more time.
This hour, by the way, a couple days ago, we had a winner for the $1,000 contest, the national contest. And now it's your time, your chance again to win $1,000 right now. It's a 560 WQAM signing bonus contest. Chance to take home $1,000. Text the word bubble to 72881 and you're registered. That's bubble, B-U-B-B-L-E, to 72881 right now. The Nick Saban Memorial Bubble. And Davey, if you don't win this time, your next chance at the top of the next hour, this is a national contest. Message and data rates may apply. Don't text and drive. Bubble is the 8 a.m. code word for your chance to win
$1,000. Man, that's cool. Finally hear about getting that email.
We got
last
a winner.
Night,
yeah.
We got a winner here on the show. Somebody got $1,000 for just listening. So thank you so much. And congratulations. Hey, speaking of that, congratulations, Boston Celtics. They love home cooking like nobody's business because they are up 3-2 and have now won 10 straight games at home in these playoffs. By the way, a hell of a story. I mean, Boston, you know, we talk about Las Vegas and what they've been able to do. And by the way, that story is also just unbelievable what the Golden Knights have been able to do. But holy smokes, man, Boston without their top two players playing at a ridiculous level along with some good coaching and everything else and find themselves one win away. Probably going to be a game seven at Boston this Sunday will be fun to watch. So we got that. And, of course, also last night, Tampa Bay loses at home 4-0. So Alex Ovechkin talked about it being the biggest game of his career. Went out and had the first goal in like the first minute.
Yeah, he was pumped up.
And got him going. They go on to win. And so, I never thought we'd be saying, hey, Capitals and Golden Knights.
So one of the best players in the NHL versus one of the best stories, or the best story in the NHL right now.
A lot of crazy stuff, right? And then all the other stories we've been talking about, including, oh boy, the new national anthem policy is out. Last thing that the owners got to, stand or stay in the locker room. Is the basic part of this thing. So if you're going to sit on the bench or kneel, then stay in the locker room. There will be, if you don't, team fines. There's some other stuff, though, I think guys can do by standing. If they did, we saw a lot of guys do it last year, standing. So, and all this stuff. And by the way, this thing is a long way from over. It really is. I just want to say this, whatever side you're on, you know, for this thing that's been going on, if you're really offended by it or you're not, and you believe players have rights and whatever it is, and everybody's got a strong opinion on this one way or the other, trust me, I hear it almost every day. I heard it during football season every day. So I get it. If you're not in on the social justice reform protest and you think, you know, for you, it's just about stand for the national anthem. But this thing is never had to get to this, first of all. Never had to get to this. And Roger Goodell continues to prove to me that he is one of the worst commissioners of all time. Again, just my opinion. This guy ought to rename himself the Chaser because all he does is chase every issue out there instead of getting out in front of it.
I don't understand why they can't get out in front of all these issues that have to do with them.
I would say this to Roger Goodell, too. You know, not sometimes it's about having great people around you can make the big boss look good. This guy, I don't know who he has around him, but it's a complete joke that they could have got out soon as the first thing with Kaepernick, they could have got out in front. Could have talked to the union, kind of worked some stuff out and got ahead of this before instead of letting it go and thinking, I guess that Kaepernick was going to do it for a year and the issue was going to go away. And it didn't. And now the owners get in this room and come out with this policy without. And again, you can say what you want. And some people are going to say, oh, Joe, the employees, their employees, they do it. They should do what the owners of these teams say. Well, to me, it's always more of a partnership because the players are a big part of it.
Well, I mean, they're the players, product. What kind of NFL do you got?
Yeah, they're the product. I would just like to see on that note, and Roger's the worst at it. How about instead of coming out saying the NFL game operations manual allows us to do this, how about this new thing called and Adam Silver's got by the way, for a fairly new commissioner, he's got to figure it out pretty good.
Yes, he does.
How about working with your union? How about working with it? Never consult the union on this. And, hey, by the way, this is what we're doing, guys. And now apparently you're going to go out and now try to work with everybody on this, the individual teams and everything else. So,
but is it too late to now start working with the teams and now start doing stuff?
Well, I'm guessing the league's going to hope, like a lot of things, that this thing will go.
And just for everyone to be okay?
For a few weeks, and then it'll just kind of go away, and we'll get back to
what happens today when the NFL media gets to these teams around the country, all 32 teams that are, or I don't know how many teams are in OTAs right now today, and literally start asking players what they think about this.
Well,
gasoline on fire.
It would have been one thing if it was just they came out and with their new national anthem policy, but the fact that the president talked about this will get the players going pretty good.
There, the NFL has made a decision on something that means a lot to you and a lot of other Americans. The NFL has the owners have voted unanimously to approve a new national anthem rule that says if you're not going to stand, stay in the locker room. If you go to the field, you have to stand. If you have a protest, your team's going to get fined. This is the first time you're hearing this. What's your reaction, Mr. President?
Well, I think that's good. I don't think people should be staying in locker rooms, but still, I think it's good. You have to stand proudly for the national anthem. Well, you shouldn't be playing. You shouldn't be there. Maybe you shouldn't be in the country. You have to stand proudly for the national anthem. And the NFL owners did the right thing if that's what they've done.
If that is the story, do you feel like you pushed this story forward and you pushed this to a conclusion?
I think the people pushed it forward. This was not me. I brought it out. I think the people pushed it forward. This country is very smart. We have very smart people. And, you know, that's something ideally could have been taken care of when it first started. It would have been a lot easier. But if they did that, they're doing the right thing.
That is from Fox News Channel's Fox and Friends this morning.
So somebody disagrees with something going on in this country, mm-hmm. they should leave.
Yeah, they should be. Sure. Why are they in this country?
Someplace else. Yeah. It's always.
Wow. That'll stir it up today.
Yeah, that
so now will. After hearing that, okay, after yesterday we knew there was going to be some sort of backlash anyway from players, but it was too late in the day. Like,
well, the
we
owners,
said.
By the way, talked. They knew this.
Yeah,
something
yes.
from the president was going to get in
100%.
On it, or the vice president, he got in on it, too.
Well, yesterday I told you that. Pence yesterday tweeted out winning, hashtag winning, after this came out and the report came out. But what I'm saying is now after hearing that, we knew that the players were going to respond, and now the president has responded with that, with the comment of, if you're not going to stand, why are you even in this country? Yeah. Like, what do you think is going to happen today among 32 teams of players, or like whoever amount of teams are OTAs today when the media gets to them? What do you think the first question is going to be? How did your quarterback pass it? No. What do you think about that new rule yesterday?
Oh, no.
And the president's comments.
Everything will be today. There will be no, how'd you throw it? How'd you run? How do you feel coming off your injury? How do you feel certain teammates not here wants a new contract?
All secondary questions.
All going to be about the new national anthem policy.
Someone's going to find Colin Kaepernick today, too, right? Walking around, maybe?
Yeah, no. They've got their own lawsuits going, but yeah. Listen, this stuff will continue on. I totally agree. Totally agree with you that it's not going anywhere. Speaking of that, Ryan Tannehill was back yesterday. We're gonna hear from Ryan throughout the last hour, but a guy that was out there covering him yesterday, Armando Salguero from the Miami Herald, will join us coming up here in just a couple of minutes. So stay with us. We're gonna have all of that coming up for you in just a moment.
Radio.com. It feels amazing to be back out there. You know, it's been a long road to be back on the field. A lot of hard work, a lot of time and effort put in by myself and guys in the training room working with me, rehabbing me, getting me right. So there's been a lot of help along the way, but it's been a lot of work to get back and put a helmet back on and step on the grass again. So just telling the guys, you know, I can remember sitting in the cafeteria looking through the glass like a little kid that's not allowed to go outside and play, you know. So I just feel blessed to be able to go out and compete and play and do what I love. No, you know, I think obviously how things ended up, it's like, you know, dang it, do we miss something? Yeah, but
without playing the result.
Yeah, going back to the process we went through after I first got injured, you know, got multiple opinions, everyone's opinion lined up on the plan of action, and we followed that plan precisely, and, you know, everyone was in conclusion on what the answer should be. So going back, I'd do it the same way. Obviously, didn't work out the way I wanted to. I wish maybe someone else, a doctor, would have given me a different opinion that might have changed that, but, you know, we sought out the best doctors we could find, and everyone was in agreement, and the knee was stable. So, you know, just unfortunate the way it turned out.
All right, that was Ryan Tannehill talking to the media for like the first time in like 7.5 years.
I like the quote, back from the dead, Ryan.
Yeah. Hey, Armando Salguero from the Miami Herald joins us this morning. Armando, how you doing?
Que pasa, Joe?
Hey, Armando.
Oh, I threw Spanish at you.
You confused him. Totally confused him, Armando. I got you, though. Totally confused.
Hey, you are too much. Hey, Armando, I wanted to ask you your thoughts on yesterday and Ryan Tannehill. How did he look for the first day out there?
Right. So it was good. It was better than Jay Cutler. let's go there, okay? The fact that Ryan Tannehill was out the last year is amazing to me in that he became more popular. The coaches love him more now. The fans appreciate him more. And the veterans who were on the team before, who are on the team now, I think appreciate him more. And the amazing thing about that is he didn't take a snap. So
right.
That tells you something about his value and worth to the team, Joe. It tells you that you really don't know what you have until you don't have it. And Ryan is an NFL starting caliber quarterback. And for the last, I would say, season, they had a guy that shouldn't have been in the NFL. And, again, now isn't in the NFL.
Armando, all I read yesterday was the leadership thing with Ryan Tannehill. Over the last year, even though he wasn't on the field like we all knew, he was there and he was in meetings and doing this. And even some of the vets that just came onto the team said he's kind of leading the locker room and leading the huddles. Is this the case with Ryan? Has he turned a kind of a turned into a leader all of a sudden?
So you remember a couple of years ago, Zach, the Dolphins had a cornerback who was very good. His name was Brent Grimes.
Yes.
And he had a wife who was not very good.
Correct.
And she made her reputation on criticizing Ryan Tannehill and ripping Ryan Tannehill on social media. And one of the criticisms was that nobody respects him in mm-hmm. the locker room and that, you know, he's not a leader and that they, meaning the Grimeses, knew that they were in trouble the minute they saw the quarterback. Well, guess what? The crazy woman's, rants were all wrong because Ryan Tannehill is an undercover guy and has been an undercover leader for years in this locker room, and especially under Adam Gase. The problem was not early on in Ryan Tannehill. It was in the fact that he was never given the chance or given the reins, let's put it that way, to be a leader. Remember, he was not allowed to change the calls at the line of scrimmage under Bill Lazor's offense. Joe Philbin wanted to draft somebody else.
Yes. I remember those.
Yeah. So that trickles down to you're getting kneecapped. Of course, you're going to dial back. But if you get empowered, you're going to be, you're going to blossom. And I think that's what's happened with Ryan Tannehill in respect to leadership.
Armando, is he doing everything right now? Is he a complete go out there?
He said yesterday he has been cleared for all football activities. So he is free and clear to play football.
Let me ask you another one. Receiver-wise, I did talk to Kenny Stills. I know how excited he is to have his quarterback back there again. Who do you think has a breakout season of that group that has a chance to really improve their numbers? Who would it be in that receiving core?
Right. So from one practice that we got to see, Joe, it's only one practice, obviously. But I saw Ryan Tannehill and Danny Amendola really locked in already throughout that practice. And oftentimes, I don't know if the reeds were carrying him there or what, but he was very partial to Amendola. So, Jarvis Landry caught over 100 balls last year. I wouldn't be surprised if Amendola catches 80, 85 balls this year.
Wow. I will stick with the wide receiver core for a second. Devontae Parker, what are we expecting from him this year? Or are expectations just high every year and we always get disappointed?
Well, the latter has been true the last 3 years. That's for sure. In that the guy doesn't or has not proven that he can play when he's injured. It's not a courage thing. It's not a, I don't think it's a mental thing. I think it's just the fact that some guys are built a certain way, and when they are hurt, they can, you know, kind of plow through. Devontae, when he's hurt, even when they're minor, you know, hamstring, soft tissue injuries, they seem to weigh on him more. And what I hear about Devontae from everyone other than Devontae is, if we can keep him healthy, he's going to have a great year. The problem with that is, in the NFL, by November,
right,
nobody is healthy.
That's
everybody
correct.
Is hurting. Everybody has aches and pains and nicks and scrapes and bruises and is, you know, feeling something. So if the football player who plays the violent sport can't play with pain, he's not going to be a very good football player. He's got to learn, or we're going to be on this same treadmill for a very long time.
Armando, how long is it going to take Gesicki to catch up with what they and how they want to use him in this offense?
Yeah, that's a good question, because the Dolphins' tight end position has been kind of a hollow,
yes,
you know, non-participant almost the last few years.
Kinda.
So all of the rookies, Joe, they're starting well back in the depth chart.
Yep.
As you know, they're not going to be at all given any sort of entitlement. It's up to him. I mean, he went to Penn State, right? I assume that he's not a big dummy. I assume that the Dolphins tested him before they drafted him in the second round. So I would say that you got to give him a game, maybe two in the preseason, but if he's not the starter by the third preseason game, something's wrong.
Yeah. Let me ask you a follow-up to that. What would be your expectations, without being crazy, for his first year? If he picks everything up, like I agree he's going to, for the way they want to use him, what kind of numbers could be realistic in Adam Gase offense?
Yeah, I'm not worried about number of catches necessarily. But look, what I tell all my people that read me and anybody that talks to me is, tight ends were made to catch touchdown passes in the red zone. That's what they do. That's what they must do. You know, obviously Rob Gronkowski is almost the number one option for the New England Patriots. He's the exception. We don't need Mike Gesicki to be the number one option, but when they get in the red zone and the field shrinks, the guy who is 6'6" should be a hard matchup against a linebacker or a safety. He should win. He should catch touchdown passes. So I'm thinking, if he catches 6 touchdown passes this year as a rookie, they've done a good job.
I got him on that number too.
That's right.
Glad to hear that. Yeah, 6 touchdowns for the first year. How do we feel about this offensive line? Just by and they haven't put pads on. Just in the names that are out there, how do you feel?
So my thinking on the offensive line is, it's a good offensive line today. It's a good offensive line going into mini camp. It's going to be a good offensive line going into training camp. It's probably going to be a good offensive line going into the season if things go according to plan. And it's not just good because of the starters, but because of the depth. You've got people at all the positions, basically, who have been starters in the NFL playing as backups for the Dolphins. Having said that, the trick is not to have a good offensive line in September. The trick is to have a good, healthy offensive line in November and December. And that's where it gets a little tricky, because you look at all of those guys. Juwan Howard has finished a couple of years on injured reserve. Josh Sitton, God bless him, he is a mountain of a man. But he's 32, 33 years old, and that's the wrong side of 30. Daniel Kilgore, the Dolphins got older at center. People don't realize that when they traded away Mike Pouncey. And Mike Pouncey, I realize, also was a injury problem or an injury concern risk. But Dan Kilgore is older than Mike Pouncey. So yeah, we'll see. If they hold up, they're going to be pretty good and maybe better than any Dolphins offensive line in a decade and a half. But the problem is you're counting on guys that have either age or injury histories to stay healthy, and that's going to be interesting.
All right, Armando, a hot topic obviously yesterday, and it's going to be today with all the players now hearing what happened with the NFL yesterday and the president this morning, the national anthem and the kneeling and staying in the locker room. Don't kneel when you get on the field. Your thoughts on that, and what are we going to expect to hear from these players around the entire league today and some of the coaches?
Well, I don't know what you're going to hear from the players and the coaches. Obviously, already the NFLPA, the union for the players, has chimed in. They think it's patriotic to kneel for the national anthem. I think that's ridiculous. Look, I wasn't born in this country. I came to this country because I was born under a communist flag, okay? And we don't get choices in communist countries. We don't get elections, and we're told what to do and not given the choice of what to do. I don't think it's a whole lot to ask to appreciate in this country that you have choices, that you have people that are on the streets wearing uniforms trying to keep you safe generally, and you have people in uniform abroad trying to keep you safe. 45 seconds of respect of that, I have no problem with. If you want to demonstrate, and if you want to demonstrate specifically, I guess what those players are definitely demonstrating against is rogue cops or whatever. Bro, Tuesday you're off. Go to a police station, stand outside, and demonstrate there. But in the stadium where somebody else paid to see you play football, not demonstrate, stand up.
Yeah.
Okay? The flag hasn't done anything against you, and the national anthem certainly hasn't done anything against you.
Armando, do you think, just a follow-up, besides the things you just brought up, do you think the commissioner and the league could have got out in front of this earlier, like so many? I don't know, maybe you're a Roger Goodell fan. I don't happen to be one, but what do you think about the way the league handled it?
No, I'm not the Roger Goodell fan. I think there's one of them in the country. look, they're trying to split the baby here, Joe, and obviously, no, they didn't get out in front of it. Obviously, they were shocked and surprised when the president turned what they believed was a social justice demonstration into a question of patriotism.
Correct.
And you know, an honor. And they were really shocked when a lot of people agreed. So now they're trying to put the farm animal back in the barn. And unfortunately, you know, I've got to say this about the players. They have a right to do whatever they're doing. They have that right. And they have significant and serious concerns. The question is not that. The question is, how do you voice those concerns? Yeah. Where do you voice those concerns? I know that at QAM, Joe Rose can't decide that he's coming on the air given to him by QAM for listeners who expect to hear a sports radio show, and they get a political rant on social justice every morning.
Yeah.
I know that on the pages of the Miami Herald, where the Herald gives me the space, I cannot decide that I'm going to go off on my political rant based on, you know, the privilege that I was given to write sports and to report on the Miami Dolphins. People are paying you to do a certain duty at work. they don't come to your place of business. They don't come to your venue to watch you or listen to you preach, you know, about social justice or injustice.
Armando, thank you, man. Appreciate you coming on here. It'll be an interesting day out there to OTA. Thanks for spending some time with us this morning.
All right, Joe. My pleasure.
All right, Armando Salguero from the Miami Herald. A little different spin on it, coming from Cuba.
I can imagine the text line will be lit up.
We'll get it all fired up. Hey, listen, everybody's going to have their own strong opinions on this one, no matter where you are. Even people, to be honest, aren't football fans, are going to have real strong opinions on this. It'll be interesting throughout the day. Hey, we got to get back. Speaking of that, we'll get back to everybody's thoughts as well coming up here on the show. You can join us on the Kendall Toyota and West Kendall Toyota text line at 560-22 or 560-22. Yeah. Super swollen.
Oh, God.
Super swollen. Bang, 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 bang. Let me get in that son of a... Ah! Right now, I want to tell you about your South Florida Chevy dealers, man.
Right?
I got to tell you. Yeah.
Okay.
I had a lot
of checking.
A lot of coffee.
Yeah,
this
you probably
morning.
Shouldn't have drank that fourth cup. Radio.com. Radio.
Radio. Radio.com. All right. Welcome back and good morning to everybody. Get out there, man, and enjoy your days while you can. Looks like a pretty good one so far today.
It's going to be a long weekend, except it's going to be a long, wet weekend.
I don't usually do this because, listen, living in South Florida, you know you're getting a lot of rain. I hope the weather guys
are wrong.
Men and women are wrong this weekend.
Joe, I got a feeling that.
Get an extra day off, kind of a family deal.
I got a feeling it's going to be.
So it's going to rain the whole time.
It's going to be bad. It's going to be raining all weekend long. Probably not great for your tennis. That's what I'm guessing. I'm trying to get the 5-day weather up here. It's okay. Here we go. 70% chance of rain on Friday. 100% chance of rain on Saturday. 100% chance of rain on Sunday. 90% on Monday. Enjoy your weekend.
They didn't even go 50-50 or
no. Today is 30 with isolated thunderstorms.
That's all right. That's a good day.
Friday says showers. Saturday, Sunday, Monday, thunderstorm.
Stop. Yeah. You're just full of.
I mean, I don't mean to, you know, poo-poo on your tennis parade.
News. Yeah. We've been all over the board today with a lot. Yesterday was a super busy day besides the Cavs and Celtics last night. Find out Washington is now going to play in the Stanley Cup Finals. They beat Tampa Bay on the road 4-0 last night. Ryan Tannehill, we just talked with Armando Salguero back at 100% at practice yesterday. The new national anthem policy out in the NFL owners' meetings yesterday, which got a strong reaction from everybody. But we had a lot of other things. This other thing kind of, like ESPN's been talking about bleeding money, right?
Yeah.
Losing subscribers like crazy and everything. So they had to get rid of all these employees, tons of them. And yet, because their cost to have all these teams, right, and all these leagues, professional leagues, college leagues, and their big package with college sports and all the different conferences and everything else. And then ESPN goes out and signed this UFC package to a 5-year $1.5 billion deal. I was kind of surprised. I just don't see it. Like, I saw UFC trending up for a long time. I remember going on radio going, man, it's past. I never thought I'd say this, but it was going past boxing. I don't feel that way right now, especially with Conor McGregor being a rock star. And for me, just me, now maybe you hardcore UFCers, I don't see anything else close to Conor McGregor as far as the drawing card goes.
Well, 12 hours ago, all the MMA fighting, the websites and all the, you know, the blogs are saying Dana White now will meet with Conor McGregor in Liverpool to discuss McGregor's future. I'm guessing after this 5-year deal was signed with ESPN, ESPN probably said, yo, what's up with Conor? What's the deal with him? Are we going to get him to fight in any of these things because we just signed a big 5-year deal with you? So I don't know what the deal is, but Conor's not signed up. That's a little bit of a loss for ESPN.
Conor, I think, will come back because I think he'll come back. I know he's got a lot of money from that one fight. I just think he wants to get paid like a top-notch boxer.
Of course.
And not like this UFC, whatever they pay, which apparently is not very much compared to top boxers. And plus, he just got a little spoiled getting in on a Mayweather special.
Well, you're getting $100 million, Joe.
And only Mayweather and Pacquiao know about getting paid on a Floyd Mayweather special. So, yeah, I wonder, and Conor McGregor's in a great position, right, with all this stuff? Because they need him. It's kind of like Tiger Woods. Like, I remember when NBC jumped in on golf, and they wanted Tiger Woods because they know Tiger plays in the same events, right? He doesn't add them every year. He likes certain golf courses, certain time. So NBC made sure that they got a lot of the good Tiger Woods, like a lot of their, not every week, but a lot of them Tiger played in, like Doral.
Yes.
Like Arnold Palmer's tournament. I mean, they wanted to make sure the Players' Championship. They didn't get him every week, but they got him a lot.
Yeah.
He didn't used to be a big Honda Classic guy down here.
But is that going to be? I mean, I'm just thinking of ESPN because of this big deal. Like, is that going to be?
They must
part
know
of
what
it?
They're doing.
I'm not saying they don't. I'm just saying
they cannot be that stupid.
They
must be UFC to work.
They're expecting Lesnar.
They don't like losing money.
No, John Bones Jones, if he ever does come back, which never will happen, but
that guy can't stay clean. He can't stay clean for dinner.
But a $1.5 billion deal, ESPN's expecting some names. Not, you know, the Joe Rose, Danny Rabinowitz fight. You know, that's not happening.
I would agree. I know you asked a question earlier, and I haven't agreed. I think boxing has jumped back ahead of the UFC in
who could put on a better main event?
By the way, boxing is not even nearly what it used to be.
No.
Heavyweight, lightweight, none of them. I mean, with the stars that boxing used to have compared to now. But I do believe, especially with a couple of these young heavyweights, Joshua.
And Wilder.
And Wilder really coming along. I just feel pretty good shape. They got some really talented guys that you're going to be hearing more about. So, I don't know. Just me.
I just wonder if both the UFC and boxing try to put a super card together, who would people rather watch? Like, where are the bigger names are obviously in UFC, right?
Well, listen, I will say one thing. A lot of people like the style of UFC because it's got everything.
Oh, yeah.
It's got more normal what a brawl looks like when you're outside.
Right.
Outside
boxing,
of a bar when two guys are going at it.
It doesn't look like a boxing
You're
match.
Throwing a couple of punches and you're going to ground and trying to beat the crap out of each other. Yeah. And you're going,
But Conor's not going to save that sport like single-handedly. I mean, the guy hasn't fought in, 10 months?
What do you mean?
August of last year's boxing.
Shows back
he's not going to single-handedly save that.
What are you talking about?
He
comes back and fights.
He shows back up.
It'd be a big card. He's not going to single-handedly save that sport. I mean, he can only fight, twice a year?
Well, boxers, like, same thing.
They need some other talent.
I agree.
There's a lot of talent running around in boxing right now. People are recognizable names.
But like not as recognizable as Conor.
Conor, first of all, you don't even know how great the guy's going to be anyway. He hasn't fought in forever.
Doesn't matter. That
Nobody
guy gets on a pay-per-view card Saturday
that's
night.
That's a weak argument.
Also, if he gets his ass kicked in his first fight back, that's good.
People
are buying it no matter what. You're going to have an easier time selling Conor McGregor than are Wilder and Joshua.
Conor McGregor with Mayweather retired is bigger than anything in boxing, period. Pay-per-view, must-see, build up a fight with his trash talk. Nobody gives you the total package. You disagree.
I do. I disagree with you. I think the Joshua Wilder fight would be better.
It might be a better
fight.
And
I think it'd get a bigger crowd, bigger audience. I really do.
I don't either.
I don't think so.
I think the build-up to that fight will be incredible. Those guys both know how to talk.
Yeah, but
no one
knows
those guys. Who are you
putting
in front of Conor McGregor? Who are you putting in front of him? That matters too, doesn't it?
It doesn't matter. He's going to trash the guy to death.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what. You know how you're going to outsell anything in boxing?
And by the way, remember how old his act got towards the end of that Mayweather promotion tour?
Well, they overdid it, man.
What are you talking about? That was great entertainment. People were getting upset about stuff he said.
People were
really
buying
by the
tickets.
Fifth time he showed up at one of those arenas, you weren't a little bit bored.
People were buying
talk.
Tickets.
You're a real downer. You know that.
You
try to make your point, and you go like so. You start trashing him about like the fifth stop when they were going around. He and Mayweather together. That you have to start critiquing what he did. I thought he's pretty damn good, going after everything.
If Mayweather and McGregor fight in the UFC in 6 weeks on pay-per-view and Wilder and Joshua are on a pay-per-view that same night, who sells more pay-per-views?
Oh, I don't know about that.
Now you're throwing Mayweather in a cage, too, with him?
It, wasn't he training to be an MMA guy?
Listen, there's no way Mayweather's ever going in there. If he does, he's going to get his...
I agree.
You know, the butt kicking?
His ass kicked.
You might have thought that there was an ass kicking last time Mayweather fought McGregor.
It'd be worse.
What he did to McGregor. What McGregor will do to Floyd Mayweather in UFC when he gets him down, his ass will be tapping out so fast, you'll think he has to go potty in the first in the first period of class.
And that has zero to do with what I'm talking about.
But you wouldn't really pay to watch that, though, would you?
It's the same thing watch with a boxing
Floyd
match.
Mayweather
Everybody said, I'm not going to pay for that. And how many did they sell? How many pay-per-views?
Conor can box, and Floyd doesn't do any of that stuff.
Let me explain something to you. If those two guys fought in a UFC fight in 6 weeks, 8 weeks, whatever it was, they'll have record number pay-per-view buzz.
They have to change some... They have to change some rules.
Whatever they have to do, it doesn't matter. We're not talking about rules or who's going to win or lose. We're talking about what will people
Floyd's
buy more.
Floyd's not used to being on the ground, first of all.
Great. Who will pay? Who will buy more? Who pay-per-view buys? Who will get more?
I don't find that fight particularly intriguing, to be honest. I really don't. I don't think most people will. Yeah.
More pay-per-view buys will be for UFC than it would be for that Wilder-Joshua fight. They're putting boxing matches on ESPN on Saturday night.
I'll tell you what, though. Heavyweights ever become sexy like they were when I was growing up.
Different story.
It would be...
Different story.
If those guys keep winning and keep rolling along, it would be good. I don't know if it'll ever be Frazier and Ali and Foreman in there. I don't know if it'll ever be like that. But it would be fun to see again. I can tell you that.
I wish it was more like that.
The sexy guys throwing big punches at each other. Always good for business.
Just go back to Tyson Holyfield and that kind of like even the end of that era. People couldn't wait to see those matches.
Guess what? We got to go to break here. You made some good points. You're a little passionate today. That was good.
We got
9 o'clock hour coming up. We got to check in. We're going to try to get another $1,000 away.
Yes, we are.
Never stop doing that.
Got to get rid of the 1,000 texts first and the text machine. About as swollen as I've ever
seen. We want to have it swollen. That's why we have to relieve some of that.
I'm trying to help.
Come up here in the 9 o'clock hour. We'll check in on the text machine as well.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.